In 2016, Donald Trump's ability to win suburban communities in key swing states was critical to his ultimate success in the Electoral College over Hillary Clinton. 2 years later, though, Democrats rode the suburbs to control of the House of Representatives. Now, with the 2020 election about a month away, one of the key questions is where the suburban voters will end up. And to answer that question, including what it means for races down the ballot in New York, we're joined once again by Larry Levy, Executive Dean of Hofstra University's National Center for Suburban Studies. Thanks for making the time, Larry.
Thanks for having me.
So when we talk about the quote-unquote suburban voter, who do we mean, and were they a significant constituency prior to 2016?
For the last 30 years, the candidate who has won in the suburbs has taken the White House. The same for the party that controls Congress. It is the home of the moderate swing voter. Now, that said, it doesn't mean that everybody in the suburbs is a moderate. There are still a lot of red conservatives and blue progressives, but we find that compared to cities and country folk, there is a preponderance of moderates to the point where you and I could sit down, you know, the night before the election and you know, throw 10 bucks into a hat and say, okay, let's predict what the cities are going to do. And we'll probably come up with about 70% for the Democrats. And what are the rural folks going to do? Well, it's going to be probably 70% for the Republican, but it's the suburbs that are going to swing a few points either way, because if it's more than a few points, then you're talking about an historic landslide. 4 years ago, Trump won the suburbs by a few points, largely on the basis of college-educated white women who, even if they were turned off by his tone, his style, decided that they either didn't like, didn't trust Hillary Clinton or whatever other reason they had, and said, I'm going to take a chance on this guy Trump. I've seen him on television. He must be a competent businessman because look at all the money he has. But now we're 4 years later, and according to the polls, or according to what these folks are telling pollsters, suburban women in particular, college-educated suburban women, are leaving the president in droves.
You mentioned that these are largely, I guess, moderate voters. There's at least a large faction of moderate voters. But when we say a moderate voter, are we saying that they're down the middle on every single different issue? Or are we saying they might be to the left on one thing and to the right on something else, and that's what makes them moderate?
You're right to ask that question. I mean, the nuance is very, very important. I'm sure that we could go find the perfect moderate who is down the middle on everything, but the reality is that they're not. There are some suburban moderates who are in the anti-tax, anti-big government camp. There are plenty of moderates, and we find this in our own polling, who are extremely supportive of environmental regulations, anything to protect the air and water quality. Remember, their life savings are invested in their home. The basis of their wealth is their house, and anything they see that can affect it, including pollution, is something that they shy away from. They will spend themselves into almost poverty to live in a community that has a great school system. They value education very high, and in fact, it's a lot of the big anti-government, anti-tax rhetoric that came out in the Contract with America back in the 90s that began to push away a lot of suburbanites from the Republican Party's national brand. They still voted Republican locally, but they were hearing too much that just didn't resonate. These are people like on Long Island, for example, highest property taxes in the country, and yet 99% of the school budgets were approved. This is where voters have a direct chance because they've come to realize that the quality of the school has a direct impact on the quality, on the value of their home and the quality of their kids' future. So they're all over the place. You can find, but they tend to vote not on party, the big picture. They tend not to vote party. They tend not to vote ideology. They may be driven or more interested in one issue over another, but they tend to take the bigger picture.
The idea of a suburban voter is often reduced to a white couple with 2.5
right.
kids and a dog.
Right.
But in reality, have the suburbs become more diverse than this picture that was crafted, say, 50, 60 years ago?
One of the reasons why the suburbs have moved from being reliably Republican a generation ago, you know, 20, 30 years ago, to true toss-up places and even leaning Democratic is not just because the Republican brand began turning off people who just didn't buy the big government, you know, anti-big government rhetoric, who realized they needed government as a partner for good schools, safe streets, cleaner air. But it's because they're also very different people living there. So what we've seen in many suburban communities is a surge of non-white residents. And they have brought their Democratic, capital D, as in party, proclivities with them to their new communities. It's not my mother and father's suburb anymore. You know, back when I was growing up in the 50s and 60s, you know, there were a handful of people of color. My neighborhood did not have a single person who was not white. My school district had one non-white person in it, and he was a music teacher. This is a whole different world. I mean, while we still don't have many minority teachers relevant to their numbers, while we still don't have enough Black, Latino, Asian executives, there are far more than ever before. And dog whistle appeals, such as what President Trump seems to be going in his appeal to the suburbs, just don't work as well because people are much more familiar, much more comfortable with people who are different than them.
What, if anything, from the first presidential debate may have resonated either positively or negatively with suburban voters in America?
I have to think that the typical, you know, this unicorn moderate purple people eater voter had to have been turned off because one of the things that we've learned is that this suburban voter that we're talking about shies away from extremism of any stripe. They will reject the Democrats if they think they've gone too far left. They will reject the Republicans if they think they've gone too far right. And they just don't like the harsh rhetoric. And one of the problems that President Trump has had is that he just comes across as too harsh for these more moderate, easygoing, in a political sense, voters. So last night, we saw a tale of two appeals to two different cohorts, so to speak, of suburban voters. You know, there was a lot written, and in fact, I was quote unquote guilty of it myself about 6 weeks ago when he first started, you know, appealing to a scare of the suburbs, you know, the fear that Cory Booker was going to be their neighbor and that Antifa, whatever that is, was going to come and burn down their neighborhood. And I said, gee, you know, he's playing from a 50s, 60s playbook. When the suburbs isn't like that, or certainly not the swing voter. But what's become very clear since the end of their convention is that Trump is not going after suburban moderates at all. He's not going after moderates anywhere. And that his game plan is to win with his base. And it's not only in getting out every single last, you know, rural voter, but all those in New York City, on Long Island, in the collar counties around Philadelphia, around Washington, D.C., all the potential places, potential states that might be in play is to get all of them to come to him and win again as a candidate with fewer votes. Biden is doing the more classic pivot to these moderate voters, trying to come with a softer appeal, playing to their concerns about COVID in this case, about the economic recovery, about the wildfires. He had a good line that said people in the suburbs are less worried about, you know, protesters burning their homes than climate change. And our polling shows that that's true. So Biden is, you know, they're going after different people in the same places. And according to the polls so far, Biden is more successful. And at least my hearing of last night's debate was that Trump probably, you know, got his base going, but lost any chance he might have to get undecided moderates.
Do you think that law and order message is amplified in New York suburbs by the changes to the state's bail and evidentiary disclosure laws that took effect this year and have been, I would say, less than popular?
It's a great question because, you know, some people ask, well, what's a suburb? And my answer is, well, you know, I can give technical answers, but they're all a little different. And New York suburbs, because of the very issues you brought up, are a little more sensitive to some of the law and order issues because of the debate over bail reform. And because Republican candidates for state Senate and assembly are hammering Democrats, particularly those that won Republican seats 2 years ago on the bail reform and some other related issues, defunding the police, for example. So yeah, I think that it could resonate with more people, but the big X factor, much more so than normal years, when you know the top of the ticket does have an influence, but local matters are generally the biggest concern, even in congressional races. In this case, Donald Trump is a huge wild card, and how people feel about him will affect races down ballot. In Nassau County, where Trump lost by 6 or 7 points 4 years ago, if things continue the way they are, he will probably lose by more. But the question is, how does he do in places more like Suffolk County, suburbs that are a little poorer, where the education rate is a little lower, and where Trump won by the same 7 or 8 points? How will it affect the first congressional district with Lee Zeldin, who's gone all in on Trump, full bear hug embrace? Trump won his district by, I think, 14 points 4 years ago. Zeldin only won it by a handful of points. So if Trump won't go underwater in a district like that, it's just too many conservative, too many Republican voters. But if he slips from 14 to 6, Lee Zeldin is in trouble. By the same token, upstate, whether it's suburban areas or rural areas, where Trump still polls well, that's going to help. It really depends on more on the top of the ticket this time than it ever does.
Well, a lot to watch over the next month. Our guest has been Larry Levy, Executive Dean of Hofstra University's National Center for Suburban Studies. Larry, thank you so much for making the time.
Oh, I'm happy to anytime.
You've been listening to the Capitol Press Room, which you can take with you on the go wherever you download podcasts. Our engineer in Syracuse is Dave White. My producer in Albany is Tim Williams. I'm David Lombardo. Thanks for listening.
Join us again for Capitol Press Room, a production of WCNY Connected, Syracuse.